Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1318, we feature two stories by new Life Rattle writer Larissa Crawley. Tonight's reader, Larissa Crawley, was born in 1994 in Brampton, Ontario. She is of Ukrainian and Irish descent. Her mother, Oksana, a visual artist, is a retired teacher who loves the theater. Her father, Brendan, works in media relations and loves sports. Larissa is an actress, singer, writer, and Netflix addict. She has loved to perform on stage since her first ballet recital when she was 4 years old, and danced to Aladdin's I Can Show You the World. Although she enjoys watching and creating theater, Larissa Crawley hopes one day to write, direct, produce, and act in television sitcoms. A wealth of vitality and humor fuels Larissa's prose. Even in situations that hold a darker edge, her writing delivers sparkling energy. In recognition of Thanksgiving this weekend, tonight's first story gathers us around the table at a family Thanksgiving dinner. A family so full of lively characters that I don't see how simple walls can contain them. But really, Thanksgiving simply serves as the setting that Larissa employs to have us consider the awkwardness that arises when a young member of a white Canadian family, who is dating a black Jamaican man, is quizzed about matters of the heart. Let's listen now as Larissa Crawley reads her story, The Ham, tonight on Life Rattle.
The Ham by Larissa Crawley. I stand in the foyer of Auntie Siobhan's house and take off my long black peacoat. Each time the front glass door opens, marking the arrival of new guests, cold air gusts through the foyer. Everyone hugs and kisses each other, balancing wine bottles and Tupperware filled with food, prepared for Thanksgiving dinner. I rush into the kitchen and plunk down a 10-pound serving dish of garlic and cheddar mashed potatoes on the counter. I look down at my wrist. Auntie Mary's hand rests on my magenta crystal bracelet. Nice to see you, Larissa. Such a lovely bracelet. Auntie Siobhan gave it to me. Auntie Mary's reddish, drawn-on eyebrows rise in unison. Her lips form a tiny coin purse. She raises her hands, rests them together on her enormous bust, and smiles. I brought the ham. Auntie Mary sings the word ham. I grip her forearm. Thank God, your ham is the best. Auntie Siobhan's maple rum cake sits on the stove fresh out of the oven. Perfect, round, brown halo. The smell of maple syrup floods the kitchen. At the end of every sweet-smelling breath comes a hint of the salty ham. Auntie Siobhan rushes over, her long white cardigan fluttering with each step, and throws her arms around me. She grabs my wrists, forcing me to socialize. The tiny crow's feet around her eyes grow larger as she squints. Her lips pull back over her teeth. What a fabulous bracelet you have there. I wonder what aunt with great taste bought you that. She winks. Auntie Mary rolls her eyes. They smile at each other. Now then, how are you? Auntie Siobhan presses. How are matters of the heart, I can't help but laugh. Clinking glasses cut me off. Champagne glasses move from hand to hand until the whole room glitters with 50 beacons of liquid gold. Sparkling wine lights the room like torches. Drunken Uncle Steve makes a speech about Christmas, even though it's Thanksgiving. He goes into detail about how much he loves Christmas pudding. The texture, the way it feels on his tongue. "I am Santa Claus," he blurts out. All the under-12s in the room look panic-stricken. Auntie Siobhan squeals at Uncle Steve to go out for a smoke break, and then starts serving dinner. She shovels heaping spoonfuls of scalloped potatoes onto everyone's plate, ignoring the "just a little" declarations. Auntie Siobhan grabs my plate, makes a mountain of steaming potatoes, and sets it down on the antique dining table. Then she putters around the table again and hands out carrots. "We never finished our chat, Larissa." Small talk crowds the room. "How are matters of the heart?" she asks. "Any new flames?" The word "flames" ends the small talk around the table. The second hand on the modern art clock in the kitchen loudly hits every number on its face. Tick. I can hear my cousin Aiden swallow a chunk of ham beside me. Talk. He elbows me in the side. Tick. Through chipped, yellowed teeth, and only distantly related, mildly alcoholic stripper cousin Megan repeats the question. Any new flames? Tick. Talk. I pick up my silver fork and orchestrate my words in the air. I am seeing a guy, but we've been seeing each other for a while now. It's nothing new. Collective oohs are heard around the dining table of judgment. What's his name? Auntie Mary interrogates further. With my fork still in my hand, I say, Jermaine, and bite down on my bottom lip. Jermaine? Like the French girl's name? Megan asks. Sure. I laugh. Is he French, then? Auntie Mary's eyebrows narrow. I swallow. No. Everyone waits for me to continue, staring at me down the table, forks and knives in their fists. Tick. He's African-American. Well, he's Jamaican, really. Talk. Fists grip tighter around their knives. Cutlery drops to the table, the clanking of plates and silverware echoing throughout the room. Then, silence. A stillness. No one eats or drinks. Auntie Siobhan's mouth hangs open. I place my fork in front of my face and sneak a glance around the room. I hear only the muddled ticking of the clock. Drunk Uncle Steve comes back from his smoke break. He seats himself at the head of the table, scraping the clunky wooden chair along the tiled floor. "Were you all waiting for me to eat?" he sarcastically slurs. "How sweet. Send that ham over here, will you?" No one moves or speaks. Eyes stay glued on me.
That was The Ham, written and read by Larissa Crawley. In tonight's second story, we are introduced to our narrator's flame, the man who brought silence to her family's Thanksgiving dinner. This story, so full of fun and humor, will begin your long weekend with a shot of good spirits. Let's listen now as Larissa Crawley reads her story, Memory Foam.
Memory Foam by Larissa Crawley. I sit on the edge of my queen-size bed. The foam remembers the shape of my hips. My MacBook charger warms a small rectangular patch on my memory foam mattress. I pound the letters on the keyboard, trying to get out the sentence I have in my head. I'm writing a narrative 110 essay about a book I barely read. It's due tomorrow. A hand inches up my spine. "Hey," whispers a voice from behind me. The hand traces my vertebrae up to my neck. It massages for a minute. The hand moves across my shoulders and over my collarbone and into my shirt. I forget the sentence I'm supposed to be writing. I stop the hand with my hand. Our hands rest together on my chest. I like the way they look on top of each other. I like how his skin is so different. I like that his hand smells like my vanilla hand cream. I like that 3 months ago he said the cream smelled girly and would never use it. I like where we are now. I don't look at him. I'm trying to focus, okay? You work too hard. His breath smells of ginger ale. I stare at the bright MacBook screen. I look over my shoulder at his eyes, tiny slits below thick eyebrows. I love it when he squints. He smiles. I look away before I can see the dimple on his left cheek form. I place my hands back on the keyboard in the typing position. I type. The omniscient narrator mediates the story and I feel his hand in my hair. "No," I sigh. He grips my hair and turns my head towards his face. "Come play. Work hard today. Play tomorrow, remember?" "Technically, it is tomorrow." He presses the enter button on my BlackBerry lying beside my thigh. The screen lights up. I squint. The small white digital clock reads 12:01 a.m. "Very clever," I say. He tilts my head back and moves more of my hair into his fist. He kisses a strip of my outstretched neck. My lips betray me. They slide back over my teeth and pull up at the sides. I hit him to make up for the fact that I want him. His fingers find my wrist. His thumb presses down on my tendon. My hand becomes immobile. He kisses my hand and lets it go. He leaps off of the mattress, leaving a deep handprint in the memory foam. He squats in front of me, his face below mine. He grabs my MacBook and sets it on the carpet beside his feet. I reach for it, but he slides the laptop farther away from me with his foot. "Give up," he bites his bottom lip. I shake my head and smirk. He moves to rest on one knee. He kisses me and I don't push him away. I kiss back. He puts his hand on my neck and on my back and in my hair and up my shirt, and I don't push him away. Better than writing a paper, right? He looks at me through half-open eyes again. I put my hand on his face, squish his nose, and push him away. I flip my hair upside down and grab the blue and white striped elastic off my wrist. I wind the hair into a pretzel on top of my head and secure it with the elastic. I stand up and look down at him. I point to the sphere of hair on my head. "See this? This is a bun. Buns mean business. This is my business bun." He laughs and pouts and dives onto the bed. The memory foam swallows him up. He pulls the silver silk sheet over his face. "Boo," he breathes out through buzzing lips. The silk sheet forms a tiny parachute over his mouth. His eyes poke out from underneath the silver sheath. He bats his thick, curly, long brown eyelashes at me. He huffs and pulls the sheet back up over his face. I laugh. "You're cute." I stare at him. I ogle his body. tufts of his short dreads poke out from underneath the sheet. Silk clings to every muscle in his body. I let my hands and knees sink into the foam and crawl over to him, blindfolded by the sheet, and I lie down next to him and surrender. The foam remembers every curve in my body. I use his arm as a pillow. His skin is warm and soft. I rip the sheet off his face like a magician performing a disappearing act. I pull the elastic out of my hair. The bun unravels. My lips find his. I don't push him away for the rest of the night. The memory foam remembers.
That was Memory Foam, written and read by Larissa Crawley. This concludes Life Fable number 1318. If you enjoyed the characters in tonight's first story, The Ham, I'm pleased to announce that we will meet them again in 2015. For next year's Mother's Day program, we have lined up Larissa Crawley's story, Jesus Christ, an atypical Mother's Day tale of a family gathering that takes an unexpected downward turn. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded Larissa reading her stories. Lifeadle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and be sure to tune in next time for more new stories.